I'm LaVon.
I'm Miss Nene.
Here we are again. Welcome to all of you to Family Fun in the Kitchen.
Yes.
And we always like to share our experiences in the kitchen.
We do, yes. And I think we're busy little bakers all the time, or gleaning from our past experiences.
Yes, yes.
What we're doing.
Yeah, cooking and baking. And it is so usually rewarding. Not always. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it turns out not so good, but the experience is such
yes.
a good experience.
It's a science experience. Yes. Experiment, really, if you stop and think about it, what we're doing in the kitchen. And all what we are learning there is just adding to our scientific knowledge about how foods work, how the combination of ingredients work to make something that is very palatable to our tongues and our tastes. Today, LaVon, I think this is a neat subject that we're talking about. It's relatively new to me because it's a baked product that I haven't had a lot of experience with. But first of all, we need to talk about the pronunciation of the word itself.
Now we're going to learn about language.
We are. Yes. So listeners, you never know what you're going to hear in this program. Okay, let's talk about it. The word is spelled S-C-O-N-E. How do you pronounce that, LaVon?
I have always said scone.
Yes, and that is one of the pronunciations. I have heard it pronounced scone, like rhymes with Ron. And then it's also pronounced...
Kind of in between.
But let me tell you why all these pronunciations are acceptable. This is something that I just learned recently. The origination of a S-C-O-N-E is in the British Isles and really was in Scotland. But the three different pronunciations of the word itself come from the three different areas on the island in Great Britain. And so if you are from the northern part of England, for instance, my sister said she has a friend who grew up in Yorkshire, which is in northern England, the word was pronounced scone. If you grew up or if you're from the southern part of England, maybe more in the London area, that's where the word would be pronounced scone. However, if you're from Scotland, which is where this traditionally began, mm-hmm. this recipe, then I don't think I can even say how it's pronounced because it's just the dialect of the Scottish and how they say it.
Isn't it interesting how as we're growing up, our tongues kind of learn different things?
Yes,
I know. When we get older, somehow we have difficulty doing that.
Yes. Well, we can.
Whichever way you say this.
It's still going to be very satisfying, whether it's sweet or savory. But it's interesting because how scones got started. And this was way back in the 1500s. So they've been around a long time and in Scotland. And we can thank Anna, the Duchess of Bedford, for this particular quick bread. This was in the early 1840s. And I love this terminology. She was feeling a little peckish in the mid-afternoon. Okay. So she needed her kitchen staff to provide something for her. Thus, they came up with this quick bread that had dried fruit in it. And a tradition was begun. And because, too, that carried off, she had that daily, it then became part of the tradition of what we know as afternoon tea at 4 o'clock mm-hmm. tea, which occurs very regularly in the British Isles and probably in many places around the world.
We maybe don't call it afternoon tea, but that's what it is mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. some coffee, perhaps. And I think interesting that probably she needed that lift, and this is going to do that for you because of the carbohydrates. And
certainly.
A little bit of sugar, either way, whether it's savory or not savory. And because it was quick, the kitchen could get this done. They didn't have to wait for bread to raise.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Quick breads are just wonderful little pick-me-ups, you mm-hmm. might say. Mm-hmm. But what is so interesting about this is, it can be a scone can be made. Now, forgive me if you hear me say scone. Sometimes you might hear me say scone. I'm trying to get it into my brain how to decide
either
to say
way,
it.
We know what you're talking about.
Okay. They can be made in different shapes. Traditionally, I think of a scone as being pie-shaped or triangular, wedge-shaped.
But kind of... I think of a little haystack kind of thing. I mean, it's mm-hmm. rounded. It's higher in the top than it is on the
mm-hmm.
sides,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, and that shape is gotten by either patting or rolling out the dough first and then cutting them into triangles and then putting those triangles onto the baking sheet to bake, or the round circle of rolled out dough can be put onto the baking sheet and baked and then cut, scored once it comes out of the oven, scored into triangular shapes. There's another way. It can also be rolled out into a depth of dough about 3/4 to an inch depth, and then use a round cookie cutter or a round biscuit cutter to form the scones.
I was going to say, then it's sort of an in-between a cookie and a biscuit, because it's sweeter than what we think of baking powder biscuits.
Yes.
But not as sweet as most cookies.
That's right. It is not very sweet at all. To me, if you want it a little sweeter, the fun thing to do is to get some crystallized sugar and sprinkle that on top before, maybe even brush the top with a little egg white, and then sprinkle the crystallized sugar on top, and then put it in the oven so that you have a little more crunch and a little more sweetness to that scone. The third way of shaping this scone, which was the way I did it because it was easy and very quick, and I had a large cookie scoop. I just scooped out, it held about 1/4 cup of dough. I scooped that out and put it onto I always use a Silpat liner on my cookie sheets. Put those biscuit-like scones on the cookie sheet and bake them. And they were perfectly fine, too, and certainly easy to do. I think if you are into rolling out dough, that is something that is just very relaxing and gratifying in order to do that. If there's a time that you just don't want to even get out your cutting board or a rolling pin, and you just want to snap, 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 and get it into
done.
The oven, that's this recipe, or a scone, allows you to do that. One of the ingredients.
So, I was going to say, so what flavor are we making?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is for a fruity buttermilk lemon scone. And again, with the buttermilk, that makes it a little more tender because of the acid in the buttermilk. But, Lavon, when you go to purchase buttermilk, how do you purchase it?
Well, I've probably done it several ways. I used to keep on hand a container of dry buttermilk so I could just take out what I needed and mix it up. When I wanted the liquid, I was happy that many of the stores now carry just the small container. I didn't have to buy
that.
A whole quart of it, and that was really helpful. But sometimes when you need buttermilk, you don't have either one of those on hand.
Right. Right.
So then, give up.
Yep. I do what Mom taught me years and years and years ago. If you, she said, okay, Janine, or Miss Nene. Now I'm Miss Nene. She called me Janine.
Sure.
She said, okay, put a tablespoon of lemon juice or vinegar in the bottom of a 1 cup measuring cup. Add milk to it to make 1 cup, stir it, and let it sit for a while so that it can ferment and sour that milk. So easy. And
so that's the acidity in this buttermilk, and so whichever way you get it, it's going to work in the product.
Yes, and we'll make it a more tender product. It'll tenderize that gluten and make for a more tenderized product that you're going to enjoy. One other item that this recipe calls for too is the grated rind of 1 large lemon. Of course, you want to wash that lemon first to make sure you're just going to get a little cleaner before you zest off that rind from the outside. You don't want any of the white pith, just the yellow zest part. But one product that I really enjoy using is called lemon oil. It's not lemon extract. It's not lemon flavoring. It's lemon oil. And this can be purchased online in a couple of places. One's at Amazon.com. One is at KingArthurFlower.com. But what the lemon oil does, it allows that lemon flavor to stay within that baked product. The lemon flavor doesn't bake out of the product as it does if you would use a lemon flavor or even a lemon extract.
So then do you not use the lemon zest if you use lemon oil?
Depends how much lemon you want in it. If you want the zest for texture, I'd still go and put in some of the zest. I really do enjoy lemon. And you can also Taste the dough. Maybe start out with a small amount of that lemon oil, and you certainly don't need much. Even 1/4 teaspoon might start with. And then go with the zest and increase. If you taste the dough, if you think you want it more lemony, just add a little more oil. Yes, it's a wonderful
Other than
product.
That, it's basic kind of recipe. And I know you have some fruits in there, but those could be You could use different kinds depending on what you want.
That's right. And so we are so hopeful that you will try this recipe, and you can obtain that recipe by calling us at KJAN. We'd be happy to send it to you. If you do have computer access, though, one of the fastest ways to obtain that recipe and to even hear this broadcast again and to see pictures of how the scones were made is to go to our website at KJAN.com. Click on Programs, click on Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVonna Miss Nini, and there will be all the information for you. Now remember, go have some fun family memory making in that kitchen.